بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. الحمد لله. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters listening, we started this very noble lesson, practice of having these lessons every Thursday, inshallah, and we do dua that Allah Ta'ala makes it beneficial for myself and for all of us listening. So this book that we are covering, the Majma' al-Ahbab of Imam al-Wasiti rahimahullah, is actually an abbreviation of another book, a bigger book, known as the Hilyatul Awliya of Imam Abu Nu'aym al-Isfahani. And you see, many times, unfortunately, people misrepresent things. They misrepresent ideas. They misrepresent very important concepts. So one of the most misrepresented concepts and one of the most misunderstood concepts in Islam is a concept of what we call tasawwuf. Tasawwuf is termed Islamic spirituality. So some people either do extremism in tasawwuf, where they take tasawwuf beyond the Quran and Sunnah. The tasawwuf has their tasawwuf, or their branch of tasawwuf and spirituality, has got nothing to do with the Quran, what Allah has said, and nothing to do with what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. This is one extremism, this is ghulu. And then you have another form of extremism where some people reject the entire concept of tasawwuf, that there's no such thing as tasawwuf. The entire concept of tasawwuf is bid'ah, is made up, is something that we do not need and something that Islam is independent of. The reality is that there's a very fine line and there's a very fine understanding of tasawwuf. But the great ulama of the past have all mentioned, including Imam Shah Waliullah Ad-Dihlawi rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the greatest ulama of India. Every single scholar of hadith, every single person who has permission to narrate hadith, whether they are from any sect in India, all of their chain of narration in hadith will go through Shah Waliullah Ad-Dihlawi rahmatullahi alayhi. He's known as Musnidul Hind. He's the one who went to Hijaz and he brought the knowledge of the six books of hadith, the Sihah Sitta, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nisa'i, Ibn Majah. He brought these books to India. So every single person who has a chain of narration in hadith, what we call a sanad, their chain of narration will go through Shah Waliullah. Whether you're from, I don't want to mention any sect, but let's say you're from the Deobandi fraternity or anybody else, or anybody, doesn't matter. Your chain of narration will go through Shah Waliullah rahmatullahi alayhi. So Shah Waliullah rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that the entirety of deen is tasawwuf. Tasawwuf is the entirety of deen. And the soul of the religion is tasawwuf. So if a person denies tasawwuf, then they denied the deen. They've denied a very important aspect of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, the reason I mention this is because many people in the past have written biographies of who were the Sufis, who were the people, the pious saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who we call the Sufis, those people who renounced the dunya, who left the dunya, and for them their greatest maqsad and purpose in life was to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who adopted zuhd, abstinence from the worldly pleasures, and who gave up everything to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest jama'ah of these people were called the Sufis. And many people have written their biographies. One of the first people to actually write their biographies is Imam Abu Nu'aym al-Isfahani. And the thing about Imam Abu Nu'aym al-Isfahani is that he is a master muhaddith. Everybody accepts him. People who don't like tasawwuf will accept Imam Abu Nu'aym, Hafidh Abu Nu'aym al-Isfahani, master of hadith, a master muhaddith. So he wrote a book called Hilyatul Awliya. I'm giving you a brief background. Those who take benefit, inshallah, will take benefit. He wrote a book called Hilyatul Awliya. And inside of that book, he mentioned thousands of biographies of the Sufis. And he started with Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he went on to the Khulafa al-Rashidun, and then he went all the way down till the great Sufis, the great pious people living in his time. Because his book is very lengthy, and there are many chains of narration, sanads inside of there. So this book was abbreviated by our Imam, Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Wasiti, who abbreviated it, but still in three volumes. Last week I sat here, and I said, I don't have the book. I read from a PDF copy on my iPad and I said, I don't have the book, and I've been looking for the book for a very long time. And I think someone, mashallah, did dua at that time, because as soon as I did that, 2 days later, there's a bookstore called Zakaria Books. They sent me an email saying a book that you're looking for is now back in stock, Majma' al-Ahbab. Straight away I bought it, and alhamdulillah, I have the hard copy now in front of me. Allah's fadl. My wife said no more books, and then she saw this and they said, I'll let you off with this one, because you've been wanting this for a very long time. So inshallah we'll carry on with the story of Sayyidina, with the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. There's a lot of information, a lot of detail about the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and we don't have the time to go through all of that. Inshallah I'll just take out points which I hope inshallah will be of benefit to us, so we can understand the status of this great person, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who is our master, our leader. After, like I mentioned last week, after Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the greatest human being to enter Jannah after the Anbiya alayhim salam. Out of all of the humans, all of the Muslims, after the Prophet, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has the greatest fadila, has the greatest worth. So some more of the virtues of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, I'll mention according to the hadith. He's brought many different ahadith here. So he mentions that Imam An-Nawwi rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, روينا عن البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنهما قال اشترى أبو بكر من عازب رحلا بثلاثة عشر درهما فقال أبو بكر لعازب مر البراء فليحمل لي الرحل فقال عازب لا حتى تحدثنا كيف صنعت أنت ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين خرجتما من مكة والمشركون يطلبونكم. This is a hadith that Sayyidina Bara ibn Azib رضي الله عنه. Bara was a sahabi, his father Azib was also a sahabi رضي الله عنه. So he purchased something from Sayyidina Abu Bakr. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu purchased something from him. And he said, Azib said, I'm not going to give you this until you tell me the whole story in detail of how you and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam managed to escape from the mushrikun on the day that you migrated from Makkah to Medina. And the hadith is very lengthy, so I won't go into it. But basically in this hadith we understand the virtue of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Remember, there's one ayah in the Qur'an. If you just understand this ayah, you cannot deny the status of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. It's the ayah where Allah Ta'ala mentions about the ghar. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. So inside of this verse, Murray Idris Kandahli rahmatullahi in Siratul Mustafa mentions, every single part of this verse talks about the greatness of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allah Ta'ala mentions, ثَانِيَثْنَيْنِ. First, Allah Ta'ala calls Abu Bakr, ثَانِيَثْنَيْنِ, the second of the two. It's like me and Azmat Bey are two of us, and Azmat Bey is the second of the two. It means Azmat Bey is still connected to me. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala is calling Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu the second of the two. The two people, the second of them is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So in the Qur'an, till the day of Qiyamah, one of Abu Bakr's titled is ثَانِيَثْنَيْن, the second of the two. Who's the first one? Rasulullah. Who's the second? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ, when they were both in the cave of Thawr, إِذْ يَقُول... Thawr? Cave of Thawr. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ, when he said to his companion, when Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companion Abu Bakr. So in the Quran Allah says, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his sahib, from there is sahabi. So Allah calls Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu the sahib, the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to his sahib, to his companion? لا تحزن, do not worry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, لا تحزن, don't worry. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا, Allah is with us. Allah is with us. Only sahabi, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, four or five different places, all of these give the fadila, the virtue of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And look at the last part. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, oh Abu Bakr, don't worry because Allah is with us. He didn't say Allah is with me, not with you. Allah is with us. The help of Allah will be with us, myself and you. And this is the greatest verse, honestly. Some people, unfortunately, our brothers, those who call themselves the Shia, they say, and I will make this, I will tell you because so you understand, they say that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, na'udhu billah, was a hypocrite. And he hid his disbelief. And he was so good at doing this that he even managed to deceive Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what they say. They say that he managed to deceive, give dhoka to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's how he managed to stay so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, any sensible person will look at the sacrifices Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made and say, no hypocrite would do this. Nobody would do this. Inshallah, the narrations will come. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha, his daughter, she mentions, when Abu Bakr became a Muslim, he had 40,000 dirhams as wealth. And after, by the time of the hijrah and after the hijrah, he had zero of those dirhams left. All of his money he gave for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah the narrations will come. It's an amazing narration. Upon one occasion, Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum had a bit of an argument. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum, he's the one who started. He said something, he upset Umar radiallahu anhu, and then Umar radiallahu anhum didn't speak to him. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to apologize to Umar, and Umar radiallahu anhu didn't respond to him because he was a bit angry. You know, sometimes someone apologizes to you and you're a bit angry and you don't say anything. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu runs to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he looks astate. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the Sahaba who are there, Abu Bakr is coming, and look at his state. Abu Bakr comes and he says, Ya Rasulullah, something happened between me and Ibn al-Khattab, between me and Umar, and I went to apologize to him, but he's not accepting my apology. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr, don't worry, Allah has forgiven you. He said, don't worry, Allah has forgiven you. And then Abu Bakr sat down in the majlis, and then Umar radiallahu anhu, later he calmed down. He realized, and then he went to the house of Abu Bakr, he asked, where is Abu Bakr? They said, he's not here, he's gone to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Umar radiallahu anhu comes into the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him, Rasulullah's face becomes red with anger. As soon as he sees Umar, he says, فَتَمَعَرَ وَجْهُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وسلم. The face of Rasulullah changes as soon as Umar comes. And Abu Bakr realizes, radiallahu anhu, that it's something to do with me. Rasulullah is angry with Umar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhu, because of me. So straight away he falls. He says, فَجَثَى عَلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ. He falls on his knees and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I was the one who started it. I was the one who started it. He said it twice. It's my fault, not Umar's fault. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is wrong with you people? I'll mention the hadith in Arabic because subhanAllah. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَعَثَنِي إِلَيْكُمْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah sent me to you. فَقُلْتُمْ كَذَبْتَ. You people said, you're a liar. When Allah sent me to you, you people said, you're a liar. وَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ صَدَقْتَ. However, Abu Bakr said, you're truthful. Everybody called me a liar and Abu Bakr believed me. وَوَاسَانِي بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ. And he helped me with his wealth and his physical body. He assisted me. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ تَارِكُوا لِي صَاحِبِي. Will you not leave my sahabi alone? Will you not leave my companion alone? مَرَّتَيْن. He said this twice. Will you not leave my companion alone? And this is a hadith of Bukhari. Imam al-Bukhari, rahmatullah, has brought this hadith. He says, فَمَا أُذِيَ بَعْدَهَا. Nobody ever said anything to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu after that day. How could they, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something like this? So many fada'il of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He mentions here that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he says that كُنَّا نُخَيْرُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فِي زَمَانِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وسلم. Now, if we, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we just used to, you know, sometimes people think, who's the most closest or who's the most... You know, you sometimes think, like, people talk about scholars like this. Who's the greatest alim? Is he a great alim? Or is he a great alim? It's natural to sometimes talk. So, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says, even in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we would choose between the Sahaba, that who is the greatest after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would always say Abu Bakr is the greatest, and then Umar, and then Uthman. And this is the belief of the Muslims. This is the aqidah of the Muslims, Musallam. The Muslims believe this, that the greatest of all creation is Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the Sahaba the greatest is Abu Bakr and then Umar radiallahu anhu. In Sharh al-Aqaid al-Nasafiyah it says Tafdeelul Shaykhain, that we elevate the status of the Shaykhain, the two elders, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And then between Ali radiallahu anhu and Uthman radiallahu anhu, there's difference of opinion. Most ulama have always said Uthman radiallahu anhu is superior, but a lot of ulama have also been there who have said that Ali radiallahu anhu is superior. But this is not something which is a big difference of opinion, because both of them are great Sahaba, Sayyidina Ali and Uthman radiallahu anhuma. Both of them were the sons-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were both from the 10 Sahaba who are guaranteed Jannah. Inshallah, we'll come into their life later. More virtues of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا مِنْ أُمَّتِي خَلِيلًا لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ وَلَكِنْ أَخِي وَصَاحِبِي. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I was to choose a khalil from my ummah, from my nation. Khalil, the Arabic word khalil, means bosom friend, your closest friend, your best friend. One word is sadiq in Arabic. Sadiq means friend. Morana sitting there at the back, mashallah, he can correct me if I'm wrong. Sadiq means friend. A person can have many asdiqa, friends. And khalil is closest friend, your best friend. In the Quran, Allah says, Al-akhillau yawma'idhin ba'duhum li ba'din adun illa al-muttaqeen. On the day of Qiyamah, the akhilla, the khalils, those who are best friends, will be enemies to each other, except for the muttaqeen, except for the pious people. The khalils, the best friends. So khalil is your closest friend. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if I was to choose a khalil from my ummah, from my nation, I would have chosen Abu Bakr as my khalil. However, he is my brother and my sahabi, my companion. Wa sahibi, my companion. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left that place of khillah, this place of friend, deep friendship only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how it's like Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Inshallah, another discussion for another time about why Ibrahim alayhi salam was called Khalilullah, the close friend of Allah. Look at that title was given to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Sayyidina Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu mentions another hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari and Muslim. And from this hadith we understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Abu Bakr after us. And for those who say no, Abu Bakr and Umar, they cheated and they took the khilafah, whereas the khilafah, the leadership belonged to Ali radiallahu anhu. This hadith is a smack in their face. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu, he says that atat imra'atun ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa'amaraha an tarji'a ilayhi. That in a woman came to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that come to me later, come to me another time. So she said, "Qalat araita in jitu walam ajiduka." She says that, "What about if I come and I don't find you here? I can come back later, but what about if I come back and you're not here?" كَأَنَّهَا تَقُولُ الْمَوْتُ. It's as if she was saying that, "What if I come back later and you've passed away by that time?" She asked a question. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِلَّمْ تَجِدِينِي فَأْتِي أَبَا بَكْرٍ. If you don't find me here, then go come to Abu Bakr. So if you come to Medina and you don't find me here, then go to Abu Bakr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly, very clearly in this hadith saying that Abu Bakr is the person to lead the Muslims if I'm not here. And this hadith is the one which, the hadith of when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his Maradul Maut, and he was about to pass away. He's trying to find the hadith. There's another hadith here, I'll mention this. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentions that someone asked Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha that man kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mustakhlifan law istakhlafa. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime was to choose his khalifa, his representative, someone to guide the Muslims after him or lead the Muslims after him, who would he choose? قالت أبو بكر, she said Abu Bakr. فقيل لها ثم من بعد أبي بكر, she said, so they asked her, who would he have chosen after Abu Bakr? قالت عمر, she said عمر. And then he was asked of her, who would he have chosen after عمر? قالت أبو عبيدة بن الجراح. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu. This is an amazing sahabi who is talked about very less. Inshallah, this sahabi we can talk about some other time. I'm just trying to find this. There's so much here, so I'm just trying to... I'll just mention it, inshallah, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his maradul mawt and he was about to pass away and he didn't have the energy to get up and lead the Muslims in salah, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made indication with his hands that Abu Bakr should lead the Muslims. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She's the daughter of Abu Bakr. She says, "Ya Rasulullah, my father is a very soft-hearted person. Rajulun raqiqun. Very soft person. He won't be able to bear this responsibility. Such a great responsibility. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has never ever told anybody else. Actually, in the lifetime of Rasulullah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one or two times he was busy with other things, he did make Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu lead the salah. But this time it's as if he is giving his permission that after me Abu Bakr should lead the Muslims in salah. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, my father will not be able to bear this responsibility. He's too soft. He's too soft. He'll find it very difficult. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said again, made indication again for Abu Bakr. She said it again, that my father will not be able to do this. He's too soft-hearted. Again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the third time he spoke, and he said, why? He said something, I can't remember the line, but he said, you are like the women of Yusuf alayhi salam. He said something like, you people don't listen. I've said it first time, you should straight away implement what I've said. And then he said, يَأْبَى اللَّهُ وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ إِلَّا أَبَا بَكْرٍ. That Allah will not accept anybody else, and the Muslims will not accept anybody else to lead them except for Abu Bakr. Allah will not be happy with me choosing anybody else to lead the Muslims in Salah except for Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was a very soft person. When he would stand in Salah, he would just cry and cry. He couldn't control his tears. Cry. That's why when he was leaving from Makkah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa gave the Muslims permission to do Hijrah in the beginning, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and said, Ya Rasulullah, do I have permission to do Hijrah towards Habasha, towards Abyssinia? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, yes, you can go. So when he was leaving, this person, Ibn al-Dughinna, he saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu leaving. He said, oh Abu Bakr, where are you going? He says, my people are giving me too much taklif, too much difficulty, too much hardship. They don't let me practice my faith properly. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given me permission to do Hijrah, to migrate. So I'm leaving. Ibn al-Dughinna said, no, I swear by Allah, a person like you cannot leave. You are someone who looks after the poor people, who bears the burdens of those who are going through difficulties. When women, their husbands pass away and they become widowed, you look after their needs. You're a person who is a great asset to the community. I can't let you just leave like this. And you see, the amazing thing is, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got wahi the first time, and he came to Khadija radiallahu anha, and he was so worried, thinking, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought this may be some kind of possession, some jinn or some shaitani, something has happened. Khadija radiallahu anha, what did she say? Allah will never disgrace you. Why? Because you look after the needs of other people. You bear the burdens of the burdened. You look after the widows. So the same description was given to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Ibn al-Dughinna said, I can't let you leave. So he brought him back to Makkah. He went to the leaders of the Quraysh and he said, Abu Bakr is under my protection. They said, that's fine. As long as he does his worship in his house and he doesn't mislead our people. But Abu Bakr, he was a very soft-hearted person. He'd go into his garden outside his house. He'd stand up in Salah. And when he would be in Namaz, he'd start reciting Quran loudly and he would cry. And all the women and the children, the wives of the leaders of the Quraysh would gather around and they would all listen and they would all be crying. So these leaders of Quraysh would come home and they see all their women folk and their children listening to Abu Bakr loudly recite the Quran. So they came and they said to Ibn al-Dughinna that, look, Ibn al-Dughinna, if this carries on happening, we're not going to accept your protection of Abu Bakr. So Ibn al-Dughinna told Abu Bakr, look, Abu Bakr, just do your salah at home. You don't need to do it outside. Abu Bakr said, no, I will do my salah outside. If you don't want to protect me, don't worry, Allah will protect me. This is the nature of the Sahaba, they didn't care. And there's more, inshallah, to it. I think next week I'll do the last, third part of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. If we do a talk on Abu Bakr, it'll be very long, radiallahu anhu. So I'm just doing brief points. We'll finish it, inshallah, next week, and then we'll move on to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Allah Ta'ala gives us the ability to understand the great status of these people. Allah Ta'ala gives us the ability to do those a'mal which at least make us like the, be near them in the hereafter, inshallah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك.